Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 106. I'm going to Ocho Cinco you in the face.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we sing our hearts and for Boston, take 20 times of bravery. And ever with a right shot as big bombs and touch a little more in the work. It's come for Boston, for Boston, our fun is over.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am the King Baby Duck.
Leonic.
Mr. Cuse.
I'm Anvil, I'm frightened.
Why are you so frightened?
You have so much energy.
What's wrong with having a lot of energy, sir?
Everything.
Yes.
Everything?
Yes.
Everything.
Come on. It's good to have energy. It's the breath of life, my friend.
You know who I saw have energy yesterday?
Who?
The two cokeheads running from the cops.
Well, no, this is natural energy.
That was actually pretty surprising. They were able to clean while they're running away.
It's, yes.
It's very impressive.
They were able to what?
They're OCD. Clean. They do like, ah!
I opened up my front door, so they ran in and actually cleaned my bedroom and ran away from the cops.
It's amazing.
And they didn't steal nothing.
So they're basically like a coke cleaner.
Yeah.
And then they have to go into the bathroom and wash their hands singing the happy birthday song. Twice.
Yeah. No, actually, they got smarter. We've been cleaning on the railroad. It's longer.
That is bad. That is just bad.
Actually, do you know where I learned that?
What?
One of the EMTs I know?
Yeah.
She actually told me when she gives CPR because it's 100 beats a minute, she'll sing, I'm working on the railroad because it's the same beat for giving CPR properly. Actually, if you do it, it is true. It will get you 100 beats a minute.
I think it works during sex, too.
No!
That's called child... That's called, you know, abuse.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been working on the... No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that is definitely abuse.
That's wrong.
I heard that... No way. It's a William Tell overture that works better.
Right. Well, anyways...
And the Monty Python turns on when she sobers up and turns on the lights and realizes how ugly you are.
No, that's Benny Hill.
Couldn't you just let it work for a minute?
No.
I'm a correctionist. Yes, I just made up a word. Aha! We haven't done that in a while. Correctionist.
No, that's not right. That sounds like you work for a correctional facility.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, wait, is that what that is? Somebody threw feces on last night at work?
Well, anyways, if anybody else have noticed in the room, we've gotten the back from Texas.
Yes.
Mr. Cuse.
Yeehaw, I'm back from Texas.
Where's my steak? I placed an order.
Oh. All right, this isn't Texas Warehouse.
Wait, no.
I want ribs.
I know,
ribs.
First of all,
apple butter.
Wait, we're thinking of awesome food real quick. Hold on.
Food for fatness.
You broke my ribs.
Okay. So, I put in an order for that 72-ounce steak with all the fixings. Where is it?
And the rattlesnake cheeseburger.
Oh, yeah. I got you the rattlesnake cheeseburger in the car, so I'll bring it out after the show.
Yes!
It tastes very good.
Oh.
There's a little bit of venom in it, but as long as you don't even mind having venom topping, then you'll be fine.
Oh, that's what you need.
It's mixed with the cheese, the venom.
That's where the flavor comes from.
All right, okay.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's like why they keep a little bit of the poison in the... in the blowfish, when you serve it, it serves as a little bit of like a numbing on the tongue.
Yeah, but it doesn't kill you.
Right, exactly. A lot of people don't know that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, the only reason I actually know this was that episode, of The Simpsons where Homer had to cut it.
Oh.
I actually went online and Googled it just to see if it was real.
But yeah, I've had Blowfish before. It's actually not bad, but I know you can't have it because you're allergic to fish.
Well, they also have Venom tacos, so I was gonna get you one of those, but it would have been like a huge taco to cover the whole rattlesnake. So maybe next time.
Well, I've actually eaten rattlesnake.
Oh, okay.
It's not bad.
No, it's actually pretty good. I know some. There's this exotic butcher that, you know, up in Canada when I used to go visit relatives, and they actually had a lot of that weird stuff. And he didn't tell me what it was. But it was
oh, okay. Bad. Well, you don't know what it is then. It's a good trick.
Yeah, I ate it, and I'm like, oh, that's some good chicken. He's like, it's rattlesnake. I'm like, that's some really good rattlesnake.
Yeah. The same with frogs. You'd be surprised at how good frogs taste.
It's too greasy.
You're French.
Right, good point.
Which part? It's greasy or you're French?
I'm French.
I'm part French, but I have more Irish and... not about Scottish blood, I think, in me.
You see, I'm three quarters French and a quarter German, but every fucking time the German part always makes the French part of me surrender.
Ah.
Is that why I'm stuck here?
Yes.
Yes.
Alright, anyways, let's get on with the show. We're going to start with sports, correct? Sports,
yes.
Sports for everybody.
Sports for everybody and everyone, because there is a lot of good news, some end news, and some sad news.
Which so I guess we should start with the good news first?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the sad news, because it was left off my list on me. All right, well, you know what? I'm going to jump around a little bit, because the sad news falls in football. So I'm going to do that one last.
Yes.
So, you know, let's start with some baseball.
Okay.
So I'm going to cover one little part, and then I'm going to send it over to Mr. Cuse for the play-by-plays on some stuff. So let's just do it like this. Jacoby Ellsbury's had a really good career.
Yes.
He's actually having a MVP season this year. Actually, if you look at the list of the four people, you know, on the MVP list, it scares me for the American League. Do you know who they are?
Who?
Jose Bautista for Toronto Blue Jays.
Yep.
And you ready for the last three?
No.
Dustin Pedroia, Jacoby Ellsbury, and Adrian Gonzalez.
I'm going to take the three quarters of that.
The Red Sox stand a chance at winning it. Gonzalez... Now, yesterday, they actually mentioned something that I didn't actually know.
What?
Gonzalez is having a season that hasn't been seen since 1946. Do you know who had that season in 1946?
Ted Williams?
That's right. At this point, he's actually batting over 350, and that's the year that Ted Williams broke the 400. And that's the same year that Ted Williams won his MVP.
Mm.
So, let's see what happens. Ellsbury's also having that year. He's having actually a lot of home runs. He had another one last night, but... Mr. Cuse will handle that in a few minutes. But he's never had a walk-off win in his entire career. Last week, ninth inning, tied game, he hits a seeing eye single. Jared Saltalamacchia comes home. We're all going home with a walk-off win against the Cleveland Indians.
Well, it's the Indians.
No, but they're still a good team.
Yeah, they are.
The Indians are still, you know, Indians aren't that bad.
So, the next day, ninth inning... rolls around. Red Sox are tied again. Who steps to the plate? Jacoby Ellsbury. And he hits the ball again. But guess where this ball goes?
Home run.
Dead center field for a walk-off homer.
Again.
2 days in a row, his first two. Ellsbury's really coming into his own. This is a player that I believe can truly help us for a long time. This is the best part of having the farm system that Theo Epstein has put together. If you look at the team we have now, do you know how many people from our farm team are on our starting roster right now?
I think like six of them, if I'm not mistaken.
Ellsbury.
Okay.
Pedroia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Euculus.
Okay.
Euculus.
Papelbon.
Yeah.
Lester.
Buchholz.
Buchholz. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I said current roster, but it's
okay. Okay.
Damn, I got that right too.
All right, there's one more.
Well, Lowry, right?
Lowry. He's oh, J.J. Redick.
J.J. Redick, yeah.
Which, actually, he's replacing J.D. Drew. His kid's on fire.
Fire.
Ooh.
So far it's looking really good for us to going into the playoffs and whatnot.
We're looking solid. We tied up with the Yankees again yesterday for a lead in the American League. Yeah. Whoever wins today takes sole lead of... first place.
It does look good, but the one thing I would say is I think we really got to win the division, because if we don't win the division, we're probably going to play Texas, and Texas has our number for the last couple of years. So we got to win this, yeah.
Now, Buchholz is actually expected to be back for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Now, for those that don't know, Buchholz had a back injury. He had some time off. He's trying to warm up, and his back started hurting again. And a lot of people were sitting there saying, oh, you know, Buckholz is just trying to take some time off, blah, 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 blah. He had, you know, work done on his back. He has a fractured vertebrae in his lower back. So he's actually serious. He's going to be out at least until the playoffs, if not the rest of the season.
But people were thinking, speculating, maybe it was career ending, but he's been telling us that he should be back for the playoffs,
yep.
Should be able to help us, and we don't have to worry as much as we have been about him. So that's good news, yeah.
So we just got to hope and, you know, wait to see what happens. Now, the Red Sox did make two trades right before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
We traded with the Kansas City Royals for infielder Mike Avila.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good deal. You know, yeah. He's a good player. But then we also traded with the Seattle Mariners for starting pitcher Eric Bedard. Now, this is a guy that's been injury-plagued. He's been off and on. He's made his first start for the other day and took the loss. But it's not for lack of trying.
Right.
He gave up 3 runs. The bullpen blew it.
Hmm.
So, we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Plus, he was on a pitch count, too. So, yeah. They weren't going to let him pitch too long into the game. That was the plan.
Do you think there might be a chance they might send him down to the minor leagues so he can train a little bit more?
No, he's going to be our starting. He's going to be one of our starting pitchers for now.
He's taking over for Buckholz.
Okay.
And also, our buddy Wakefield went for his 200th career win.
Yep. But, hasn't happened yet.
No, because he got no run support. He still looked good. It is what it is. He goes again on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Because not a lot of pitchers have gotten to that 200 win point, if I'm not mistaken.
No. Not a ton, but this 200 in a Red Sox uniform.
Yes.
Now, some people are saying, you know, does he belong in the Hall of Fame? Some people are saying that, some people that. If he keeps on climbing up this list for strikeouts, I think yes. Because right now, I can't, off the top of my head, tell you exactly how many strikeouts he has.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I looked, he was number 63, but, you know, he got a few the other day. He's coming close to being up there with Catfish Hunter and Oral Hershiser.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
How about Satchel Paige? No, I'm just kidding.
Satchel Paige, huh?
Yes, Satchel Paige. I brought out Satchel Paige.
You brought the Paige out?
Yeah.
No one talks about Satchel Paige. No one.
Better watch out. You're going to wake up with a satchel over your head. And you got a pager in your mouth.
Oh.
Don't even make pagers anymore.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Doctor had him at the hospital.
True.
Now tell me more about what's, you know, been going on with the Sox and Yankees series, Mr. Cuse.
All right. So yesterday I went to the Sox-Yankees game. It was my second game going this year. Not too bad to go to Sox-Yanks. And the Sox basically obliterated CC Sabathia and the Yankees yesterday. Ellsbury had a 3-run homer to right field, and he also had 6 ribbies. And then also Crawford had 4 hits, and he was pretty much on fire. Yeah, he couldn't miss. And, you know, Lackey wasn't at his best, but, you know, giving up 3 runs in 6 innings for him isn't bad.
It was still any pitcher giving up 3 runs over 6 innings, not bad.
To the Yankees, too.
Exactly.
Right.
So, and you're facing a potent lineup like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he gave up almost hit every inning, but there was an inning early on in the game. The Yankees had bases loaded and no outs. He got them grounded into double play, gave up 2 runs, but in that situation, I would say he definitely minimized the damage. He could have given up a lot more.
Exactly.
Put it that way.
Right.
And then CC Sabathia gave up actually 7 runs in 7 innings. So we got to him pretty good. And Avila actually had a hit for us too. You know, our utility man who played right field for us. So it was a good game all around. It was nice to see the Red Sox score that many runs too. Because, you know, the night before they only scored 2 runs, and, you know, the offense wasn't clicking. So when you score 9 runs, you got a good shot against anybody. And to do it against Sabathia, who's probably the best pitcher in the majors this year, was pretty amazing too.
Well, it's funny. CC Sabathia on the season 16-6.
Mm-hmm.
Against the entire league, he's 16-2. Against the Red Sox, he's 0-4 on the season. So that's a good thing to have. Plus, going into this game, you know, there were a lot of different things going on. I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
Right, it's our rivalry after all.
Plus, you gotta love it. When Jacoby came up every time, the crowd was yelling, MVP! MVP! So that was pretty special, too. And he has 19 home runs for a guy that barely hits home runs, you know. each year. So, I mean, he's like second on the team. Who would have thought that? So it's a pretty amazing feat for him, and his great year continues. So now there is an issue with Papelbon. Should we resign him or should we not? Obviously, if we didn't resign him, then Bard would take over as the closer. But then the problem is, who would be the setup man? And, you know, Bobby Jenks, who is supposed to work out, has been injured a lot, hasn't pitched that well. And it seems like that we probably will re-sign Papelbon. But I was wondering, Anvil, your take on that, if we should re-sign him or not.
Truthfully, his statistics are really good. He's been 19 for his last 19. He's pitching very well. If he keeps on pitching like this by the end of the season, I say re-sign him. Why not? Because he's only second right now in the majors, you know, over active players to Mo. And for those who don't know who Mo is, it's Mariano Rivera.
Oh, him.
He's the second best closer in the league at this point. And I'm not talking over this season. I mean over the career right now. So I say keep him.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
Well, it will have to depend on how he does for the rest of the season. In my honest opinion, I mean, we've seen Papelbon do his best, but then he usually has that sort of slump near the end of the season.
But then he always picks up in the playoffs, though.
Well, yeah, if we get to the playoffs. If whenever
we're getting the playoffs.
We have the best record in the American League.
And we're only a couple behind.
I meant in past.
I know, but, and actually, our league is the one that, you know, everybody chases, and Tampa's still 10
Tampa's
games 10 behind
games
us.
Out, so I don't see Tampa.
So, yeah, we're at least in wild card. Unless, you know, somehow we just lose the rest of the games.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
In my honest opinion, if he wants to stay here, let him stay here. But if it comes down to a situation where he starts slumping like he usually does, and he doesn't pick up like you would say he does in the playoffs, try to ship him off someplace else. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that doesn't sound nice, but it's a business. It's not just a sport, it's a business. It's mm-hmm. all this other stuff. And if there's one player that's not doing as well as the others and isn't showing the merit that they usually do, there's no choice in the matter.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Blue?
I think he needs a new Irish jig to do on the actual mound. Get his spirits up, and once he does the Irish jig, just lay waste to everybody and strikeouts and closings and whatnot that he needs to do, because that's what he needs. He needs that power and rage, that, you know, the hunger. That's basically what sports now is. If you don't have that hunger and you're sitting there like, what am I going to do for the rest of my career? How am I going to keep my career or longevity and blah blah blah? No. This is that time where you live the moment or you just quit then, because of the fact that if you're asking those questions like, oh, where am I going to be the next 10 years? Even though you're making millions of dollars, and you better have somebody taking care of your money that you actually can trust, so you don't wake up one day and going, oh, I'm in debt. How the hell did that happen?
Ponzi scheme!
Yeah, you don't need a Ponzi, you know, all that other fun stuff going on, but
yes,
I suggest that Papelbon, just keep your head on straight, keep throwing that ball. And just think about it this way. You're doing, or you're playing the game that everybody wishes that they could play all their the rest of their life and whatnot, and not have to do the grunt work or the knuckle-dragger work that we all do every day in the grind. So I say just keep your head up and keep tossing it over him and just get it over there. Mm-hmm. He just needs to put it away and take out what needs to be done. Has he been starting at all lately, or no? He just doesn't start anymore?
He's a closer.
He's a closer.
Yeah.
He started when he first came.
Yeah, that's... Yeah,
but
that's
they're looking for a closer, and he's volunteered to do, and he's been one of the best in the league ever since. Yeah,
so. All right, you guys might not like my opinion, okay? So...
there you go. Right off the bat.
Don't hate me because I'm Jewish.
Right. Oh!
Anyways, okay. So, my opinion is, I think that, you know, they should re-sign Papelbon, but I would say if they could get Rivera, I know they tried to sign him last year, then Rivera's the best in the game, so I would get him. But if they can't, like, who's going to, you know, replace him? And then Bard, I don't really think is primed yet to be a closer. I think he will be one day, but I think it takes, you know, a couple of years to get into that role and to get ready for it. And, it, you know, in the beginning, it'll be tough for him. So I would say if they can't get Rivera, then yeah, I think that he should be the closer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
But still.
All right, so you have something in golf you want to talk about while I go grab a drink.
Golf, everybody. Golf.
All right. Well, there is some big news in golf.
Tiger Woods still sucking.
Tiger Woods, yeah, after his first, he played well in the first round. He really hasn't done that much. He's way off the lead. But there is something interesting. There's this 19-year-old guy, Ishikawa, who's only one stroke behind
from
Adam
Japan,
Scott.
Right?
From Japan. And actually, Adam Scott has the former caddy of Tiger Woods. If he won, he would be the youngest to win a PGA Tour event in 100 years. So that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, we could probably see that happening.
Be pretty amazing. I mean, 19 is pretty young to win anything. So,
gee, I wonder if. Oh, you see, the dude from the Miami Heat, whose name just escapes me so much.
LeBron James.
Yes, LeBron James. I wonder how much it's been for him not winning anything at age 19.
He was, sucks to be him.
Well, he was in high school until he was 18, and then he went.
What? Did he get to college? Did he college?
No.
He just went straight.
No.
He went straight to. Oh well, he's done. Done for. If he get once his college career, his NBA career is over, he doesn't have a college background. He's done.
I think it'll be over sooner than you think. If he's still playing like he does and doesn't show off the teamwork that all the other players seem to be wanting to do. It's just like that episode of The Fairly Odd Parents with all the ball hoggers.
Oh, jeez.
I still find it funny that Rick Fox played every single player on that episode.
Great.
Well, yeah.
All right, well, anyways.
All right, so let's move on to MMA, dudes.
That's right. So there's been a lot going on in MMA. We had Strikeforce last week, and we had UFC last night.
Yeah.
Yes. He says as he takes a sip of his drink.
Water. The athlete's preferred drink.
God, never mind.
No, I agree it's water. I think that Gatorade's a little overrated, so I agree.
I mean, it gives you the electrolytes, but you get that phlegmy crap in your mouth, and oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's because if you drink too much of it, that's what happens to you. You can't
drink a freaking.
Yeah, water is.
Vitamin water is healthy. All right, back to the MMA. All
right, so.
We're not getting paid for product placement.
Yeah, I know.
What do you mean? We're product placement water. It's falling
the
outside right now.
The essence of life.
Water's falling outside right now.
Yeah.
They're paying us by making our grass grow. I mean, the flower's beautiful.
As long as they don't use the Gatorade to grow the grass, you know what happens on that with the idiocracy.
All I can say is the concept of making water. That's good enough to feed the grass.
Yes.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Okay, anyways. So last week at a Strike Forces event, the main event was Fedor, the last emperor, a million Angle, versus the All-American, Dan Hendo Henderson, which Blue is representing right now.
Wait.
Right there, baby. Hendo.
Wait.
Hendo! He loves the Hendo. He's got a doll of him at his house, and he just loves to snuggle with it at night.
Actually, I made him into the old Hulk Hogan wrestling doll thing.
Oh, yes.
I've been doing some fighting with him on the trampoline. It's been awesome.
Remember back in 98 when they came out with the new ones, like the bone crunching action?
Oh, yeah.
I had that one for Stone Cold Steve Austin.
They need to bring those back. The kids don't know what they're missing.
They don't.
The UFC versions.
You know what they... What?
That'd be awesome. Make a Chuck Liddell with those.
Yeah. Oh, man, that'd be great.
If Chuck Liddell hadn't retired beforehand.
What do you mean? He can still be made.
It'd be a legendary edition. Yeah.
Okay. So let me jump into this. There were some really good fights. There were only two notables. There was Cohen versus Tate for the title, which, for those that don't know, is women's MMA.
Wait.
Yes. Women's!
Yes.
MMA.
Oh, shh. See how excited he just got? Cohen, who is the title holder, is a submission master, and Misha Tate is hot.
So, putting her into a submission role...
Calm down, buddy.
If we got Misha Tate versus... Gina Carano?
Oh!
They'd just be nothing but pure drool all over a room.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't just be from the guys. There would be the women that would be like, oh my god.
So, Misha Tate is only 24 years old and she got a shot at the title. They were going. It was a good fight. And then all of a sudden, I saw something I didn't think I would see.
Nip slip?
No.
No.
That will never happen.
Really?
No.
No, no, I'm talking to him. Misha Tate submitted Cohen.
No, really?
She submitted the submission artist to win the title.
Yeah, doesn't that suck when you're supposed to be like an expert at something and it happens to you?
I know.
Yeah.
So,
Shatter Friday.
So Misha Tate is now the women's champion.
Nice.
Yes.
And then, the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Fedora Emelianenko versus Dan Henderson. Fight goes on. They start pummeling each other. It looks like a great fight. And like they said, and Hendo said, Fedora said, two legends like them, they're both older men, been in this game a long time, it's probably going to come to a decision.
Yeah.
Hendo starts taking a beating, he goes down, Fedora starts wailing on him, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh my god.
Oh no, he's going to drop the bombs.
No.
Stop it.
And like, my heart's, you know, fluttering because I'm a huge Hendo fan.
Yes.
Wait, did I mention that word to make the bad man stop? And yeah, look what happened.
Yes. And Hendo also uses wrestling to get on top of Fedora's back. There's an uppercut, connects with the jaw. Fedora goes face planting straight down.
Yeah, and when he goes and does it, he face plants and his arms go out and he just...
He goes just completely limp. So Hendo slips him off.
That's him.
So Hendo, you know, starts pummeling him. He flips over, but at that point, referee Herb Dean's already stopping the fight, calling it a knockout. And this is actually a minute after both announcers say that neither Hendo or Fedora had ever been knocked out in their careers.
Yep.
So
jinx.
Yeah, exactly. So
gee, thanks, jerks.
Hendo knocks out Fedora.
Yep.
A couple days later, Fedora is released from Strikeforce.
Fedora, well, that's the whole thing. Fedora has not been the ultimate, you know, fighter that he was made out to be. Or otherwise, he was wasted too many times over in Russia.
He was overrated.
Yes. Exactly.
We've all known this. We've seen enough fights to know. And he's never fought anybody really good.
Right.
And the ones that he has...
He lost. Yeah.
Really? I mean, he lost to Fabricio Werdum. He lost to Antonio Bigfoot Silva. And now to Dan Henderson. So we had submission. Okay, so it's a submission. Then, Bigfoot Silva beats him in, breaking his eye socket, and the doctor stops it for his own health. And then he goes and he fights Dan Henderson and he gets knocked out with a signature. And I think that's exactly what was going through Fedora's head every time he got punched by Hendo.
It hurts. Make the bad man stop.
It does make the man. It will never make the bad man stop.
So, is this the end of Fedora? I think it is.
Just take off those shorts and just walk away.
Shorts?
Or whatever he wears.
Dude, I've seen women on the beach wearing more clothing than him.
Ah! Then I guess he wouldn't feel shame at walking down the streets naked, going, ha ha, Adam.
Well, he's Russian. What do you expect?
In Russia, we do this all the time. It's on every Saturday. We do this. Just walk around the streets naked, even if it's snowing out. We are proud of our big old drunkards.
The only thing we have on our bodies is built to hold vodka. Okay, so now last night was UFC.
Uh-huh.
Main event, Sugar Rashad Evans.
You suck.
Versus Tito, the Huntington Beach bad boy Ortiz.
Now, wasn't this a rematch?
They both suck.
Okay, which one did you want to suck last night? Any predictions? I know you guys couldn't see it.
I don't like Rashad that much, and Tito, he dropped off like... I thought he dropped off the face of the planet when he lost against, what's his name again?
Chuck?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I would have given it a split decision just because of the fact that they both suck. But
I think Rashad. I like that.
I think Rashad, because of the fact that, you know, he's so annoying. And what it is his annoyingness gets to you. And then when you fight him, he doesn't want to fight the fight that you were going to fight in the first place. So he'll stall you, and then he'll work on you, and then he'll not take you out. So I think Ortiz got his ass handed to him.
You know what? I got to go with Blahnik here on this. Ortiz gets his ass handed to him.
You must... I know...
Evans wins. I don't think by knockout, but TKO.
Ortiz, he has a great training regimen. He's up in the mountains. He's running, up in the high altitude, and he's taking his protein shakes. He's eating his high calorie diets with the freaking spaghetti and whatnot. But
as he's running in the mountains, he's going, "Hi, Dalai Lama."
Yeah, no. But he's just not. He's just not putting out the max capability that you're doing. He's maybe either overworking himself, or he just still doesn't. He at the time that I remember back in the day when like he showed up in the that Jet Li movie, I can't remember off the top of my head, but him in the cage fighting thing and Jet Li's kicking his ass. I was Unleashed. Just like, that's the end of it. No, it's not Unleashed. No.
What about you, Mr. Cuse? Who do you think won?
Ortiz.
Okay.
Just because you suck. I hate you.
Well, I know who won.
Okay.
Somebody here has to be wrong.
Yeah, and apparently it's me, right? I'm wrong.
Well, no. Somebody has to be wrong.
Ah, okay.
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 Somebody in this general vicinity right here!
Rashad Evans won in the second round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, he gets the winner of Quentin Rampage Jackson.
Ooh. And
John Bones Jones.
Now,
best drumming name ever, by the way.
That's what I'm saying.
Feel up on the drums, John Bones Jones.
He wasn't an MMA fighter, he could be a drummer. Or a Cape Crusader, because remember, he has, he's somebody trying to rob him. Well, no, remember, he's a guy that the person tried to rob, and he beat up the guy that tried to rob him.
Yeah.
And then he helped the other people, so.
The Bones!
Now, see, with this guy, yeah, okay, now I remember who he is. The thing about that is he's got a great fighting skill and whatnot, and Rampage Jackson, he's yet again another one of those guys that he's a theatrical guy. So he's one of those guys that you want to put out there, he'll come out with a big chain, he'll do his wolf scream and all that other stuff.
And he'll get his ass in the background going, and he starts doing a dance. All the way down.
I was talking. I kid you.
Sorry, when you go theatrical, I can't help
but think that theatrical. I meant like WWE theatrical, like fireworks and girls dancing around and No, not in that sense. I mean like the snippy ones. But anyway, right. I'm just saying, like, remember that time when we were
in China.
He comes into the middle of the ring, goes, "The sun will come out tomorrow."
See what I've got to deal with, people?
And then it hits midnight, and his opponent, Mike, son Thomas, comes over, and he's like, "Fuck." I thought it was only 10 o'clock.
No, but that's the whole thing, is Rampage, when he versus Rashad, that was what I was talking about, was Rashad was able to shut him down because he didn't fight the fight that Rampage is good at. You know, he goes, Rampage is the one that will, wail on you until you're laying on the ground. And they have to stop him, from actually keep on punching, because Rampage is just an actual all-out brawler. Now, but with him versus, John Jones, this is going to be a totally different fight, in itself. But I still think John Jones is going to walk away. I think he's going to be the one that goes up, and then if he takes on Rashad, he's going to take on Rashad.
Whoever wins out of that fight will
I think John Bones Jones.
Because of the fact that we've already seen.
He already has it.
Oh, yeah.
If we've already seen Rampage.
My bad.
Go against, Rashad Evans, we're going to see the same thing happen. He's just going to get shut down, and it's just going to be decision again. And it's just not. It's not good fighting. It's not. I feel that if you're going to. It's kind of like how Pinks used to be. Like, you run what you brought, and, you actually race the vehicle that you brought.
Yeah.
You got to bring yourself from the cage and just fight every little fight, and don't be, I'm not going to go there because I don't want to end up on the ground and I'll get knocked out. No. You got to go in and just go at it, because otherwise it's just going to be sitting there watching fisticuffs from friggin' the 1900s going back and forth like this until somebody drops because they didn't eat earlier or something like that.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Wait, so this is a title fight, you're saying? This one right here?
No, it's going leading up to a title fight.
And what class or whatever? Is it just... Do they have different classes?
Oh, there's different classes. What's John Jones?
Light heavyweight.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
So it's, you know, up to 205. So...
Okay.
It's first going to be Rampage Jackson versus John Jones. Winner takes on Sugar. Now, I do want to throw a quick plug out there for MMA.
Yeah.
September 10th, Plymouth Memorial down in Plymouth, Mass. Cage Titans.
Yes. Cage Titans. See the future stars of tomorrow.
Go to cagetitansfc.com to get all your information and buy your tickets.
It's actually called
United because it's the day before September 11th.
Yeah. But one of our buddies, Tateki Matsuda, got a really big match coming up, which will be on MTV2, if I'm not mistaken.
For Bellator.
Dude, I remember going to college with this dude and seeing what he could do and just...
He was a funny bastard awesome. At the calendar shoot. He was putting his leg over his head and he was just rolling around and you're like, how is he doing that?
Well, Eddie Lee, who did the... calendar shoot with us as well. He's fighting for the amateur title. So
nice.
I want to be able to get down and support people who support us. You know, you come out, support us, we'll support you. Cage Titans has been a great group to work with. We love, you know, everybody over there. Brandy, Michael, Doug, everybody. The ring girls down there, all the fighters.
Awesome. And Richo. Yes. Richo. Richo.
Yeah,
the pictures that he put up recently of like the calendar shoot that we did were absolutely awesome, but also hilarious at the same time. I forgot what's his name. He was doing the nipple thing, and I was just like, I was that Eddie? I was like, I was scrolling down, and I went, oh my god, they put that up there. He's like,
well, you know, I was joking with him about it. I'm like, dude, do you know how hard it is to pick pictures of you for the calendar shoot? You're sitting there touching your nipples, and you're like Val Venus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he started...
And like, you can make a flipbook out of it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you
flip... The ladies love him. It's like,
so, I mean, it's a great time. Cage Titans are, you know, great people. Get out there. I know I'll be plugging it a few more times. Check out us on Facebook, because I'm actually going to have the poster up on our Facebook page.
Yes.
Promoting it. And most likely we'll be down there for the event.
Oh, we'll definitely be down there, dude.
Well, we got to work it out to make sure we can get down to Plymouth that night.
Yeah.
But, you know, come on down. You'll see us there. You can actually get a chance to meet us. So, it'll be a good time.
It'll be so easy for you to find us. It's a Mass Holes of Fortune t-shirts.
Except for me.
Aww.
Why?
It's the day before September 11th. I'm going to be wearing an FDNY. Because my uncle, God rest his soul, was FDNY.
Right.
Killed September 11th, so...
True.
I actually just ordered a brand new shirt for it, which is the Fireman's Cross with the lights going up through for where the Twin Towers were.
Yes.
So I will be supporting him. I'm going to see if I can try to get the B3 emblem put on it, though.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
I'm going to talk to, you know... couple people that we know, maybe even get a hold of Stakes Airbrushing and see if he can add it on. But, you know, gotta show love to family at the same time.
True.
Okay, so let's move into football now that, you know.
Yes.
Finally!
Sorry. Football. No.
Hey, you know what? Considering that we did a whole video games episode last week, I wouldn't mind if it was an old sports one.
Yeah, I guess
That seems fair. Yeah.
I gave you the heads up on this one, and you kind of joked a little bit, because you didn't think there could be this much sports. Because, come on. We had a whole month without really anything at all.
Yes.
But unfortunately, once football became ratified and trade deadline...
And this guy decided to climb Mount Washington. No.
Yeah. Hey, 4 hours, 22 minutes, a personal best for me.
Sounds like a marathon time or something.
It is a marathon. It is. Just like...
40 mile an hour winds, dudes.
I'm sorry.
106 degree temperature.
I beat you.
Well, you didn't do like Tag does, where he goes up to the top and his infamous thing about going on top of Mount Washington is taking off his shirt in high winds and cold and rain and whatnot and eating a cookie. That is his ultimate thing.
I would do that.
It is ultimate shirt taking off and eating the cookie at high altitudes.
You guys?
Oh, does he do it like a whole hero pose?
If you go to Teg, you know, Teg's thing and whatnot, you could probably find some serious pictures of him going on top of Mount Washington. It's got the sign on the top, the tallest part of it. And he's just like,
No offense to, you know, the duck, like, a little bit quicker than he did. Took me 1 second to do it. So. And then I crushed the entire mountain.
So that's why it was a lot easier to climb this year.
Actually, the whole joke is, you know, how they have the little replicas of the mountain, you know, for sale.
Yes.
My buddy's mom had a whole bunch, and the little brother walked, you know, knocked them all down. So we were trying to fix them. I stepped on it. I broke Mount Washington. And then, like, 20 minutes later, you texted me saying that you finished it in amount of time. I'm like, psh, to me, 1 second, I crushed the whole mountain.
So that's what happened to the old man in the mountain.
That's right. I conquered that. I know next year I do want to try to attempt to do Mount Washington. I know me and Blue have discussed it. But, you know, we've just been too busy with work to actually get ourselves, you know.
Working every day.
Me too. Me three.
And then mixing in football.
Shut up, you.
And everything else, I forget who I am sometimes.
Kill you!
I haven't really slept either, so.
What's sleep?
Exactly. Alright, so we're running out of time, so let's hit football.
Well, let's take our time with it, don't worry about
it. Well, no, I mean, instead of just joking around as much, you know,
I should just jump
into it. So, these next two are actually, I need everybody's opinion. I want you to take off the field issues and set them aside. And just comment on the person's player ability, on, you know, how you feel they could do for our team.
But that's a part of it, though, the off-field stuff,
too. Well, that's going to come in secondary.
Okay.
Okay.
First, we're going to hold the discussion on how you feel they can help the team, and then we're going to go into off the field.
Okay. All right.
So first, the Patriots traded with the Washington Redskins for big old defensive lineman Albert Haynesworth, considered one of the best in the league.
Okay.
You match him up, Vince Wilfork. How do you guys feel?
Well, it will depend on how he is on the field conduct-wise as well. But because this also has to do with primary opinion. We know he's got game. We know that he can do what he does best.
Wait, are you quoting the movie right there?
No, shut up, you.
I think so. Sounds
we
like,
gotta get some
like he got game. This isn't Ray Allen.
No.
All right, anyways.
What I'm saying is this. If it can be professional, both sports-wise and personally-wise, on the field, he'll do great. But if he's going to have another moment where he's going to kick another player in the face like he did, I don't think he's going to do well with the Patriots.
I was watching a video from training camp, and we all know Logan Mack is one of the best, you know, linemen in the league.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Probably ever. Albert Haynesworth was manhandling him. He made him look like a rookie. I couldn't believe it. So, we'll see where that goes. What do you think, Mr. Cuse?
Well, I agree with you with his talent-wise. He is probably the best at his position. You know, you got to triple team him just to try and stop him. That means someone else is going to come over the outside and tackle the quarterback. So, I agree with that. I mean, I would say just the off-field issues... you have to kind of tame him, not let him get in trouble. He has to put his full maximum effort, because if he doesn't, you know, it's not going to do much. And you know, there's some plays in Washington where he got, you know, he thrown to the ground, didn't try getting up quick enough. So I think as long as Belichick can discipline him enough, you know, it would work out well. That's my main issue, is that he's gotten a lot of off the field troubles. But when he's playing well and he's motivated, you can't stop him. So that's what I would say. And the good news is that Belichick is good. They do bring a lot of players in that, you know, have gotten in troubles in the past, and they end up being okay. It's just he's gotten into a lot. So I'm a little bit concerned, but hopefully they can turn him around, and, you know, he's going to be a great asset to this team. Plus, they didn't give up much for him either.
No.
You know, they didn't really give up anything.
And it's not even this year. It's 2013 that it's for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, to the whole way that they cover him, like you said,
mm-hmm.
you have to think, all right, double or triple team, you know, either or. But Vince Wilfork needs to be at least double teamed.
Yeah.
You only have 5 offensive linemen. We have a 4-man front. That means somebody's not being covered somewhere. And the linebackers are just going to run rampant. So if Albert Haynesworth plays the way he, you know, we know he can, we might be looking at another Super Bowl.
I just had another question for you. What kind of defense is he going to be? Because I know that they changed him up from, I think it was like a 4-3 to a 3-4 in Washington. Do you know what kind
we're
of
defense? We're a 4-3. We went down to a 4-3. Okay. Mm-hmm. So
I had to find it. It was hilarious.
You did have to find the Eddie Lee picture, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It was freaking hilarious. Here, laugh. Look, laugh. It's funny.
I can't see it from this angle.
Well, sucks to be you. You saw it, remember? He was downstairs.
All right.
Now, what's that listed under?
Oh, that's the that's his blog, Rich O's blog.
Oh, okay.
So if you just go to the blog and scroll down about halfway.
And all those are from our photo shoot, too.
Yep.
Hey, look, I'm in his blog.
All three of us.
The three of us made the blog with our shirts.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But about Vince?
So, you mean Albert?
Albert.
What's your opinion on Albert?
Albie?
Yeah, you can call him Albie if you want.
I don't know. I don't think I could trust this guy. As if you're saying that, you know, when he hit somebody and he didn't go right back up, that means he's not doing his job.
Yeah, but truthfully, down in Washington, he butted heads with the head coach too much. It's Mike Shanahan down there.
Oh, well, that's a different story. But still, I think that if he's going to be capable of actually, you know, working or actually being able to hold a conversation with Belichick, then he might be a little bit better off. But as of right now, it seems like everybody's in a funk right now. Everybody. And I don't mean just the Patriots. I mean everybody, because of this whole issue with them stunting them from going and working out. The simplest things. From them going just to working out as early as like the starting of the summer.
I've got a feeling it's going to be a really sluggish season.
It's going to be a very odd season this year. It's going to be very odd because of the fact that not a lot of them were able to go into their training camps, and, you know, a lot of them were, I mean, we've heard so many countless things of, oh yeah, they were dropping passes, they weren't even able to get
the freaking draw straps on outside of their clothes. What?
Yeah, they're Superman now. And for apparently, like, you know, when they're taking snaps and whatnot, even Brady was dropping
Brady
a couple,
was saying
and
that
it's
he
like
was,
it's
his
like
performance wasn't as good as sharp as he wanted to be because he'd missed some practice.
Yeah, you can't just go and, like, you know, lay back in the middle of the break and whatnot and say, yep, everything's just going to work out just fine next year. You can't sit back. You can't be drinking Mai Tais every 2 seconds. But this, it wasn't their fault.
Butterfingers.
It was more or less along the lines that the whole thing where they were saying, oh yeah, we're going to be closed out with the NFL and blah, 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 this and that. Oh no, wait, no, you can't work out because of the fact is we're still closed out right now. You can't be here. You can't do this.
It's terrible.
That, you know, deterred a lot of the guys from actually doing what they're supposed to be doing like they do every year.
It's their turf. I think they have the right to go practice there whenever they want, even if it's just going into their weight room.
But unfortunately, during a lockout, that's all that, you know, belongs to the owners, and they can't. And that's the issues.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the one thing I could say about all this is it's tough, but there is competition going on, too. Like, Butler and Arrington are trying to get the third cornerback position, and they're duking it out. So a little bit of competition to get a starting job might, you know, make
that,
you work a little
that
harder.
That would be the fire to start on the, you know, start on the guys' asses. Yeah. You need to have them, you know, not just butting and, like, being against each other as a team. Because of the fact is that could be the whole thing. But I mean, if you have them actually fighting for their position and whatnot, that will make them even stronger, and they'll help each other out later on down the thing once everything cools off of whoever gets the thing. Because you're going to have that guy as a backup, because they're going to have that fiery, you know, thing. I want that damn job. I want to get in there. I want to be able to make the money. I want to put that guy on his ass. That's going to be standing across from me. So, yeah, it's going to be one of those things.
I got to work for my money. Yeah. They pay me all this money to do this. I need to show them that I can do what I can do.
Exactly. Now, we also made one more trade.
Uh-oh.
We traded for the Cincinnati Bengals for Chad Ochocinco.
Screw him.
I can't even say it. Like, it's one of those things where we're going to be forced to
loathe him.
Dude, what? Calm down. I have no clue what this said.
You can't say love.
Ike Enders. Like Eisenhower.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay.
It's...
His brain's going to shut up.
Are we
shut
even
up.
Asking about our...
Anyways, movement? It's... the whole thing about... I mean, does anybody in this room have season tickets to the Patriots? Because apparently, Ocho Cinco said he would actually stay at your house if you had, you know...
Really?
Season tickets. That's what I heard recently. I was just like, are you serious? Like, you're going to have Chad Ochocinco stay in your house and wreck your house?
I know somebody with him. Maybe I can borrow him and get him on the show.
Oh, great.
Actually, he'd be good on the show because he has such a loud personality.
Yeah, no, because then we wouldn't even have a show.
Oh, you're right.
So, Chad, tell us what you think about the season. Our whole...
We're going to win. Song.
No. He'll spend the entire time talking. It's like, I'm talking.
You probably predict who's going to win the next game or something.
He'll pull, you know, Rex Ryan and predict everything.
All right, so we're gonna talk about our opinions now about getting Ocho Cinco.
Yes.
I'm assuming. Okay, I'll go first since you guys are all so quiet.
Actually, they're quite noisy. Actually.
Well, they are right now, but they were okay.
Why?
Why did we have to get Ocho Cinco?
All right. Okay. So I'll give my opinion. I think that, you know, I know he's gotten into a little bit of trouble and stuff like that, but I'm glad that
little
we got him because we you know, last year I think one of the reasons why we didn't you know, get far in the playoffs, we didn't have you know, a star wide receiver. Yes, we had Deion Branch and, you know, he played well for us, but he wasn't, you know, he's been in the league a while, he hasn't got a lot of height. So I think we need someone that Brady can throw to that can be dependable on to catch passes, you know, make big yardage plays. So I am glad we got him, and I think he'll be a valuable asset, and we'll have to obviously keep him in line. But, you know, a little personality isn't the end of the world, so I'm not upset about it, personally.
Basically, probably the next person will pick up is freaking Terrell Owens.
Oh, yeah, God, he's still a free agent.
No, Terrell Owens is... I thought he retired.
Nope.
No? Okay.
No.
Not yet? Okay. No one's going to sign him.
Well, coming up soon, I do have a prediction, but...
I'm going to jump off Mount Major if we sign Terrell Owens.
Well, I would not want to sign Terrell Owens, but... So, obviously, you guys pretty much gave your opinions from what I heard, but that's... What do you think?
Let's see what he can do. That's all I'm right. Say.
All right.
Okay, so the Patriots had three re-signs this week.
How about that?
Yes. We brought back three players. That's gorgeous.
Yes.
We brought back veteran running back... Kevin Folk.
Mm-hmm.
We brought back veteran offensive tackle Matt Light.
Matty.
Yes.
And then we also brought back veteran guard Logan Mankin.
Bah.
Big things that could help us. Like, huge. So.
Well, I mean, Kevin Folk is our third down running back. We didn't have him, you know, last year. And he's someone that when you're in a pickle and you need someone to throw it to, he can kind of catch the ball in the backfield, get you those 8-9 yard runs.
Wait.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Nobody told me there were pickles on the show. Where?
Are you pregnant again?
Okay, when you're in a bind, how about that, since you guys are so literal? When you're in a bind, you need someone to throw it to, but it is important to have a third down back.
What do they use to bind them with?
Alright, guys.
The book?
The bind on the book. Yeah, there's a bind on that.
Well, I thought he was talking about maybe using, like, athletic tape or something to bind him.
There you go.
Like this?
Yeah, there's a bind.
Oh, is that
you're being literal. I'm sorry. We're about to
aggravate him.
He went to Texas. We have to screw with him.
Whoa. You didn't handle that one.
Not literally.
Oh.
Figuratively.
No.
See? If you put figuratively, then you're all set. All
right. Okay.
Welcome to Texas, where we screw our cousins and execute the retarded.
Wait a second.
Wow. I'm not going to take that lightly, you know. I was in Texas for a month. They do not screw their cousins.
Oh, no. That was a good one. Welcome back, you dirty bastard.
Wait.
Yeah, I would have stayed there an extra month if I knew I'd get this kind of treatment.
Oh! Hey, you get more money, though.
That's true.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Because I had a really good comeback for that one.
Yeah.
No!
Let's get back to this.
Rex Ryan did his normal, I want to be on TV thing. After he got that really stupid looking tattoo on his calf.
Did you kill me with that pen?
Yes, Rex Ryan got a tattoo on his calf.
Oh no.
I know, it's retarded.
Anything but that.
What does PETA have to say about that?
They want him sent down to Texas. You know, like I said, where retarded people get executed.
Hey! I'm not retarded. I was in Texas.
We weren't saying you were retarded. We were just saying
that was my comeback. Ah, forget it.
Wait, dude. Do you have the sound for the trombone?
No, I don't have it on me at the moment. That's me for next time.
Some of the people in Texas get away with it because they got blonde hair. So you can't really execute the blondies.
Or the last name's Bush.
There we go.
Wait, dude. I told a funny joke and you tromboned.
Tromboned. Hey, at least you didn't cricket it. So it's all set.
I think I was the only Democrat in Texas, by the way. Everyone else is Republican.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably be one of the only independents if I went down there. They'd be like, what's wrong with you?
I mean, I
don't pick sides, that's why.
Alright, so Rex Ryan issued a challenge to the entire league, challenging them to basically beat the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Saying, if we can do it, why can't you?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. He said,
I really hate that guy.
So don't I. I hated him back when he was with Baltimore as a defensive coordinator, though.
Yes.
Okay, so let's keep it going because we are running short on time and I still got a bunch to go over. Mm-hmm. The Jets released popular wide receiver Jericho Cautry and signed Derek Mason, who was released by the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe Cautry to the Pats?
I don't know.
He brings the entire offensive playbook of the Jets with him.
Will he make us a well-rounded team?
Why are you doing a cricket?
This is people's opinions on Cautry.
But the thing is, like...
No, I actually do. He is one of the best.
He didn't really have the greatest year last year, though.
No, but he still brings the offensive playbook of the Jets.
Maybe we're hoping that whole crap run last year, he might just rub that off and come back and be, a marvelous phoenix.
We have Ocho. We don't need Jericho.
Add another receiver. Couldn't hurt.
Are you talking about bringing down the walls of Jericho?
Yeah!
And why do I know these religious things, even though I'm an atheist?
Wait.
Why am I acting like a penguin?
No, it's because of Chris Jericho. Pro wrestling.
Do you guys want to know what happens, though? When we get to the wall of Jericho, do you know who shows up?
Who?
Pink Floyd. Actually, dude, I said Pink Floyd!
The wall!
No, we just keep bringing down the wall.
That was a lyric failure, dude. It's all in all. It's just another brick in the wall.
Thank you.
Otherwise,
I told you I'm tired.
It could be the other one from Bloodhound Gang, but that's neither here nor
there. We don't need a wall.
No, the one that makes fun of the wall.
Oh.
All right.
Nah.
So now we're 9 days into the show. Let me continue. So the Patriots have brought in some defensive linemen for tryouts, including former Jet Sean Ellis. But they actually did make a signing yesterday.
Oh, yes, Mark Anderson.
That's it, Mark Anderson, defensive end.
So we're going to have a Marky Mark now?
No, we have a Marky Anderson.
Marky Mark.
Marky Fresh.
Thank you, you're a trombone too. You got a trombone too.
Yes, I'm ultimately a loser today.
Oh,
Pac-Man. Wait, was that Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man? Because I feel very feminine today.
Whoa.
I was joking.
Mr. Fuse, you can have
it. Come here, buddy. Give me a hug.
Go and hug him. Go and hug him. Come on. Here comes the chase.
You have to go. Okay. So, last night I actually kicked back and I watched the NFL Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Enshrinement ceremony. Wow, I can't even talk. It's horrible.
Do you need more water, sir?
No, I'm also, thank you.
Okay.
So, guys like Les Richter, Chris Hanberg, they got inducted. But then, legends.
Man. Come on.
Shannon Sharp.
I know. I can remember their names. I was just thinking of...
Come on, give it up to the prime time.
He's last.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, Broncos tight end, Shannon Sharp, who, gave a very emotional speech. He's at the list right here, because I know I just left out the poor guy from the Bears. Richard Dent, which is part of the 85 Bears, and he's number 3 on the all-time list.
Yep.
4 sacks behind Bruce Smith and Reggie White.
Mm-hmm.
Then, William Les Richter and Chris Hanberg, like I said.
Yes.
But Shannon Sharp, Marshall Faulk, which team did he play for?
Which one?
Marshall Faulk.
Rams.
He played for,
That's cheating.
Well, he played for the Rams, but he also played for the Colts.
which a lot of people don't realize that. He was a Colt for most of his career.
Who?
Marshall Faulk.
Oh.
He played one season with Peyton Manning, his rookie year, and then he went over and became, you know, the greatest show on turf. Then...
Well, we also had... Did we mention...
He's going dead last.
Okay.
Because he is a true pioneer. Deion Primetime Sanders. Which he gave a really good speech. It was really nice. And I love the way he ended it. He reached in his back pocket, pulled out that black bandana that we all know him for, and put it on his bust.
And it was, how long was the speech for?
It was like 41 minutes about.
But it wasn't like a douchebag 41 minutes like a certain Michael Jordan.
Nobody really gave a douchebag kind of, you know, speech.
It was all from the heart.
Yep.
The one that touched me the most was Shannon Sharpe's speech. Because he spent a lot of time talking about his grandmother who raised him and how she's no longer with us. And how tough it was growing up for him and Sterling. Because they literally lived in a concrete house with a concrete floor when it rained.
With a concrete bed, which must have been so uncomfortable.
No, but I mean, like, seriously. And he's like, you know, I remember the days, you know, eating possum and eating, you know, all those animals that we wouldn't even think of eating.
Roadkill Cafe in New Hampshire, anyone?
Kind of, because they were poor. But, like he said, she loved, you know, she was a very simple woman. Church every Sunday, Bible study on Wednesday, and the rest of the day you can find her by the creek.
Yep.
And it was a very touching story, and, you know, he had tears in his eyes, and his brother Sterling was right there. And it was a really touching speech. Yes. But the one that touched me the most was the final man that I have to announce, who wasn't a player.
Right.
He created NFL Films. Mm-hmm. Ed Sable, who was enshrined by his son Steve, who has been really sick. And actually, I almost didn't recognize Steve because... You know that full head of hair he had?
Yeah.
He's completely bald now. I don't know what he has. They haven't, you know, said it.
Well, it looks like he's going through chemo and all these other things.
But so. I don't want to assume either.
Right.
But Ed was actually wheelchair ridden, and he had to be pushed out.
Ooh.
But Ed is up there. I mean...
Look at this. Well, he was born September 11, 1916.
Wow.
Yeah, he's pushing 100.
Jeez, what a happy birthday that was.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Whoa. That doesn't even deserve a trombone.
I know.
I have so many friends with like 9/11 as their birthday. It's ridiculous.
So, this was a really great class. I really enjoyed watching it, and I'm glad we could, you know, take part in that because it was a really good time. And normally, you know, I get bored watching that stuff, especially, you know, almost 4 hours long. But this I didn't. I actually really enjoyed watching. I'd flick back and forth between the socks, but I really wanted to watch the enshrinement.
Yes.
Because these are guys...
A lot of important people are getting in on this.
Yeah. Because I actually saw Richard Dent play. Because actually we were all alive to see Richard Dent play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, we saw Marshall Faulk in The Greatest Show on Turf. We all saw Shannon Sharpe. And of course, we all remember Deion for football and baseball.
Yep. Yeah, give him the stats in the baseball, too. This is how impressive Deion Sanders was.
Now, we all know his stats in football, but he had a career 263 batting average over 9 years. He stole bases. He did it all. But what people don't realize is he's the only man ever to hit a home run and score a touchdown in the same week.
Nah.
He played in 2 Super Bowls and a World Series. The only person to ever play in both.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yep.
Do you think Deion Sanders will ever be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
No, because he doesn't have Hall of Fame numbers there.
Okay.
But he had a good baseball career.
Well, let me ask you this then as well. Is there anyone that's in multiple baseball, football, basketball Hall of Fames?
Bo Jackson,
besides,
right?
Michael Jordan.
Bo Jackson is?
I don't think Bo Jackson. Multiple.
Oh, he's not? Okay.
No, because Deion's the only person that had success in 2 different leagues.
Right. And he had a somewhat career as a rapper as well.
Yes, and actually he had some good music there too.
Yeah.
And he actually brought a lot of the kids that he works with in his programs to the event yesterday.
Wow.
He actually had like 7 to 9 buses full of kids, so it was really good.
You see, that's a man without an ego. This is Deion Sanders is like a proper athlete.
We all remember the egotistical, flamboyant guy he was on the field.
Yes.
But once he retired,
was,
he left.
Yeah, but at least...
That was his showman.
He wasn't too much like Dennis Rodman.
No. Yeah, no.
Not too many people are like Dennis Rodman, but...
Dennis Rodman's not even like Dennis Rodman.
Vince Robin wore a dress.
At his own wedding.
Yes.
And it actually looked better than the woman who was marrying him.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're running short on time, but we do have one more thing I do want to touch on that I think all of us can agree on.
Yes.
It's been a sad moment in, you know,
yes,
for sports and movies. A lot of people didn't realize this man was an athlete. We all know him as Moses Hightower from the Police Academy movies.
But you had to mention it.
I have to. But he did really enjoy a good NFL career. He won one Super Bowl V with the Baltimore Colts. He was the first overall pick in the 1967 NFL draft. Bubba Smith passed away of what's believed to be natural causes in Los Angeles.
Yes.
What, 66, 67, yeah, 66. Somewhere else?
It's a tragedy. And actually, sad part is last week I actually watched all the Police Academy movies because I have them. And he's always been one of my favorites. Him and Hightower have always been my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Bubba Smith is Hightower.
No, I mean, Tackleberry, sorry.
Oh, Tackleberry.
Is that the guy who makes the weird noises?
No, that's Jonesy. He's awesome, too. Tackleberry's the guy with all the guns.
Mm-hmm.
He's dead, too.
Yeah, I know.
That sucks.
A lot of these Police Academy people are just dropping, like, flies.
No, but he died, like, back before 2000, I think.
Yeah.
I found him in another movie, and I went, I wonder whatever happened to... And I was
actually, I was with
dead.
You. Yeah. We're hanging out at the bomb shelter.
Wait.
If Steve Gutenberg drops, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but he wasn't in, you know, all the movies. He only did, like, four.
Yeah, but he was the one who pushed him back when Steve Gutenberg mattered.
Yeah. What's he done since?
Nothing.
Direct to DVD movies, I think.
Yeah. So, it was a sad day to hear that Bubba Smith had passed, but he lived a good life, great acting career, even better football career, and he'll be deeply missed.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's it.
You know what? I think on that, we should stick a fork in the podcast.
Yeah.
Because even though we have all these games and stuff, we've run out of time, and I figure because we did the whole video game thing last week, like I said, I think it's fair to both Anvil and Mr. Q's that we had a whole episode just for sports. Because, well, let's face it, a lot has happened in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, there has.
Yeah.
And video games aren't going anywhere, but sports, you know,
it changes every day.
Yeah, exactly. Right now with video games, bastards.
I know I want to try to get a few things up there and for articles soon. And I'm actually trying to put together something that I talked to the King about for the new Esh magazine.
Yeah.
Well, if I get this new job and whatnot, I'll be able to dig in a little bit more and finally actually type some stuff up more often.
Maybe you and me can work on...
Yeah, we can actually start doing more videos, do all that other fun stuff.
Yeah, we need... We gotta start doing videos, dude.
Well, yeah, we gotta get out there. We gotta start, you know, getting out and digging in and...
Yeah.
Saying, hello, we're here. You like video games? We love video games. We got sports? You got sports too? Yeah.
And try to do something more collaboratives.
Yeah, that too. We've been actually doing pretty good with the collaboratives.
Well,
we had that
sports
whole
sports world, though.
Yeah, sports world.
Yeah.
But I mean, all together, we had that whole collaborative that the King and I did over at.
Yes, it's just program and Rachel Moore.
And Rachel Moore. It was an awesome show. We freaking railed that show. It was a great show all together.
I think that was like my most confident show.
Yeah.
And by the way, Mr. Q's, if you want to know what Rachel Moore looks like, what you really missed out on. This here is Rachel Moore.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like this one right there. That's a good one.
When was she queued on the podcast?
Yeah, well, what it is we were able to Skype with her.
No.
And we had a recording set up on Skype, and you could record the whole setup.
So when did you do this?
We did this last week, yeah.
Yeah.
I missed it by 1 week.
Well, a week and a half, because we had to do it.
All right, don't make it even worse than it is.
Two freaking weeks. So you want more months? 4 weeks? Just a month.
The day after you left, we did it.
Oh,
damn. No, we did it the day that you left.
Oh, damn.
You weren't even at the airport when we were doing it. Actually, the car hasn't even left your house.
Should have came back.
Yes.
You were still loading the car.
There's the whole TSA thing you got to fight against.
I could have brought her to Texas with me.
Probably. Where's she from?
She's from San Francisco.
Cali, yeah. She's from
whatever,
Cali.
Whatever, same difference.
You're halfway there.
I'm halfway there.
That's an old one.
But I'm assuming she wasn't dressed like that.
What?
Yeah.
She has some pretty awesome, yeah.
We had some But we're going to get more awesome people. Like, yeah. Next week, we might have someone else come on the show from...
That SFX will be Skyping with us vicariously, basically.
Yes.
And then I think we're going to meet later on, by the end of the year, we're going to be doing another show.
Yeah,
another... We're going to try to do it every 6 months now, I guess.
More yeah, because there's so much to cover in video games.
And we were able to rip, like... on things that we hated, and we were able to talk about what we really loved about what was going on with the gaming community and whatnot. Yes. So.
All right, well, let's stick a fork in this.
Yeah, we'll talk more about this after the fact. Yes. So, remember, visit our website at BostonBashBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos, hopefully more videos in the future, from the B3 crew. If you have any comments, questions, requests, or if you just want to say hi, write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and Anvil's on there at anvil63.
I'm never on there.
Well, now you got a smartphone, so you're going to be on there now.
Yes. You can just get the Twitter app for that and just go,
this is what I'm thinking right now.
Yes.
Food.
The king just pissed me off. I'm going to go get the Peking duck and then throw it against the car.
You can just write, like, every 5 seconds, I don't feel like being on Twitter, and then you'd be on.
Twitter sucks. Twitter sucks. Twitter sucks. I think Twitter sucks.
We're also on Facebook. We have our group, and we the Like Us page as well. So we've been actually getting a lot more likes lately. I've been noticing that's popping up on my phone. So
yeah, well,
I actually have sent out quite a few requests for the group to certain people, and asking them joining.
Hopefully, yes. Once we get some, you know... money back at us or something along those lines, we can finally start advertising actually on the Facebook and a lot of other places and try to get us out there a lot more.
Right.
But yeah, for the most part, MySpace, yeah, I'll only answer so much. it's null and void basically now.
With MySpace is a tumbleweed.
It is.
Actually, I'm thinking about ending my MySpace altogether, but I just need to get some pictures over to my Facebook. Mm-hmm. Once I figure out how to do it.
Uh-huh.
If I'm not so lazy about it.
Yeah.
For my part. I wasn't saying you were lazy. I was saying me being lazy about putting all the stuff from MySpace onto Facebook.
Yeah, it's just like you have to figure out how to move all those pictures. Because I guess some of me on my, you know, on the motorcycle and everything.
Yeah.
All right, your turn.
Check out our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI. We're there. Check out Geek Aggro, The Issues Guy, check out The Vagabonds, and every gamer reaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rachel.com.
Yeah, Design with Charm for Matt the One.
I think that's it.
For right now.
For right now.
And don't forget, check out Cage Titans at CageTitanFC.com.
Yeah.
And richardsphotography.com.
Okay.
We got it. Yeah.
All right, that's it. Let us wrap it. Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Blue Onyx.
Mr. Cuse.
And the Anvil.
Say sayonara, bitches. We are the bastards.
Cuckoo! The duck is cuckoo!